Hello and welcome to
Two
Filthy
Nerds,
because we're filthy
and we're nerds
and there's two of us.
Well, technically there's probably a lot more with your personalities and my personalities
and the ghosts haunting all of us.
It's a shame more people don't find personalities attractive, because we would have been wifed up a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I've got such a big, jiggly, luscious teenage personality.
I gotta tell you guys, I've motorboated her personality before and it is supple.
I mean, yeah, no, if you know, think of a hot woman, and that is just our personalities.
You know what I thought of the other day when I was driving? I saw the street name Sepulveda.
Yes.
And when I first moved here, I called it Sepulveda.
That's so funny. I probably said Sepulveda.
Wow. And then I was like, that sounds like Spanish for a soft vagina.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does. If you, you know, didn't know Spanish, you just had to assume.
Mm-hmm.
Cahuenga.
I remember when I moved here, I was like, I'm going to learn Spanish. No, never happened.
I can't believe I took French and Italian in anticipation of the future of my life. And
you thought those were going to translate well for your future?
I took a bunch of French, and then I was like, oh, what a ridiculous thing. When will I even really use French? And then I got to college, and they were like, you need a language credit. And I was like, I'll take Italian.
Well, I know someone who took Yiddish in college.
I mean, if you want to talk about...
truly useless.
I mean, I guess maybe if you're going to move to...
Jersey?
Yeah, where are the bubbies? I don't know.
Northern Jersey.
If you're starting a nonprofit...
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Center for Bubba
Boca.
Loves.
Boca. Actually, if you're going to move to Boca or Palm Beach.
And you want to blend in among the locals. I'm just like the rest of you.
Shalom. That's Hebrew. Zygazunt. Zygazunt. That is Yiddish.
Oy vey. What's that? Is that just a sound?
That's Yiddish. Oy vey is Yiddish.
Wait, so
is that just a sound? That's just a sound Jews conjured up?
Yeah, just like,
we're like,
ah!
How can we express how we feel? Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I
and there was some guy, his name was like
Shlomo?
Verbanowitz, and they're like, Vey!
Vey!
Oy, Vey!
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, is that what, when a Jewish person stubs their toe, is that just the organic sound comes out? That's not really what I thought, but it crossed my mind.
You know, as a half Jew, you're perfectly
a who.
That's really cute, especially since you love owls.
Hoot hoot.
Hoot hoot hoot. Anyways, guys, it has been a fucking circus of a week here in Los Angeles.
Dear God, in the comedy world specifically,
Men are falling, dropping like flies.
Dropping like dirty birdie flies. Are they dropping, or are they just being held accountable for
good point
what they may have done?
You know, here's you want to know what I think?
Yes, Nicole, I would love to know what you think.
Here's what I think. Chris D'Elia, I actually don't think he might have been with someone underage, but I don't think he knowingly would have done that, because I think he's way too calculated of a person to fuck with his career.
Yes,
but I do think he has predatory behavior.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you look at those text messages, yeah, yeah. It's like, either way,
you're a fucking creep.
Not cool. And the it's a little sad, because this person who, I wasn't super close with him, but you think you kind of have a read on someone. He was always really friendly to me, which I know that's the case with many people who are like that. You don't know if you're not the victim. It's shocking. And it's like,
super shocking.
I genuinely hope, because even if what you're saying is the case and he was not knowingly pursuing underage people,
he was definitely watching the clock and waiting for a few of them to turn 18. That's for sure.
I mean, it's also just creepy, and you have to look at, like, the best we can do is hope that he genuinely looks at himself and any work he's doing on himself isn't some sort of apologetic, like performative bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what leads someone to behave in that way?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. I understand that a lot of men pursue positions of power because women like power.
Yeah.
There is this, in theory, gray area of, not with him, I'm just being general, of, in what what am I trying to say? How much is a man manipulating someone with his power versus he worked to get in power because he knew women would find that attractive?
And women willingly go to that because they are attracted to powerful people.
That being said, if you are a man who has a lot of power, and let me be clear, there are none of them listening to this.
Except our patrons, who we love.
Like, what are you doing going after women with a lot of power? You have fucking power. A woman will come to you.
Yeah, you don't need to flex too hard.
Like, relax. You have money, you have power. You don't need to DM everyone who's who says hi to you.
That's crazy. I mean, I have enough trouble keeping track of conversations with my friends.
I mean, yeah. And it's like,
he saves them in his phone based on the city they're in. So whenever he goes back to that city, he hits people up.
What?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? How does he know what city?
I think it was an LA Times article or something like that. I read that somewhere.
And that... So he's just... That's so funny. I save comedians in my phone with their city.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So that when I'm in their city, I make sure I say hi to them. I'll type in Denver and then, yep. Oh, make sure I see this person because yep. I'm a fucking space cadet.
I do that because I'm like, oh, when I'm in town, like, I not only might I want to see them, but like maybe they know of a cool show I can jump on. Maybe they know of a mic. You know, I'm going to start. Maybe I should start saving dudes because I can just hop on that dick. Should we be flexing? I mean, we're not famous.
I mean, first of all, we don't have to be famous. We're women. All you have to do is text a guy and be like, I want to fuck. And they'll fuck because men are like, oh.
Should I share my story? No. My 2010 story?
No.
No. Anyways, I had a funny story, but I'm not going to share it.
You can.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It's.
If you don't think I should, I'm not. Now you guys want to know. Well, yeah. In 2010, I tried.
Well, you should just.
I tried
come
to sleep
Patreon.
With an attractive man, and he said no.
No, you didn't. As far as I'm concerned, because I know who you're talking about, and frankly, I don't find him attractive, and I don't understand. Like, here's the thing about so many comedians: people are like, he's hot. It's like, how fucking ugly are all of us? That the pinnacle of attractive is so often someone who's like. Okay.
He's tall.
He's taller than the other ones. Like,
dude, tall does it for me. I mean, good shoulders and tall with a thick ass. Yeah.
I mean, who am I to say anything? The people I find attractive, other people probably always don't always.
I've seen some of the people you've slept with and.
I have a wide variety.
You.
Quite literally.
You do
some
not
occasions.
Have a type. You
no,
do. You really
it's
don't.
An energy.
It's a personality. It's our connection.
Or on a few occasions, I was in a very dark place.
Well, let's get back to the state of the world.
Men being you. The thing is that
first of all, guys, why do you find an 18-year-old attractive? 18?
There has got to be some sort of like men. I dated a guy who was 6 years younger than me, and. We were both, he was like well into his 20s.
Yeah.
And I was at the end of my 20s.
Not by much, though.
And I'm creeped out about that. Like, I'm like, I mean, did I even want a boyfriend or did I want a baby? Like, it's creepy. What are you doing if you are 10, 15, 20 years older than a girl?
What do you talk about? Like, honestly, what's your conversation? If you're not fucking, having a relationship, what are you talking about? When I was 22, I dated a guy who was 38 and we worked together. So we could talk about that.
And that's it.
When we no longer worked together, all we had in common was like, oh, you have parents. I have parents. You have friends. I have friends. Oh, you like food? I like food.
Yeah, you're like not connecting on anything.
It was just very basic things we were connecting on. Like, what are you truly... I don't know. I look at it as like, I like to date someone who's in the same age range as me because we have the same soundtrack to our life. So yeah. I could be like, hey, remember when we were in middle school and, you know, this album came out and this, it's like
One Direction. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say what mine was because it'll date me immediately, but it's like,
it's just nice to have someone date you, you know?
Yeah. Finally have a date. It's a shelf life. It expired.
Well, and here's the thing, especially like, and maybe it's a testament to the specific, and I know this doesn't just apply, like this is not just a thing that comedians do. It's a thing that people, men in other fields do. And a lot of it is, I'll say this, and I don't want to be in defense of men, but a lot of it is the system. When men make a joke about being creepy and other men laugh, it's because we live in a system where that is the norm and they can laugh at it. Does that make it okay? No, but it goes deeper than going, you shouldn't say that. It's like, yeah, well, we also shouldn't be in a world where any, like, that would even be a thing you would think was funny, but we are, and you're making observations based on that world. So I don't know what to fucking say about people who go too far with a joke. Like, that's
speaking of the system, and the system of sexism, one thing that you and I strongly agree on, is, you know, there have been a lot of people who've been criticizing the Comedy Store. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Jessica Michelle and I are paid regulars at the Comedy Store. Our names are on the wall. We take a lot of pride in it.
Yeah, we worked really hard.
Really fucking hard. Really. I mean, we made so many sacrifices in our lives.
I put all of my eggs in a stand-up comedy basket.
And she won. And she won. And
which
she got
it. Led to that.
Yeah. Same. So
like all I did, blinders on.
There are people who are saying, oh, well, you know, any woman who's at the Comedy Store had to suck or fuck her way there. Like,
fuck,
if you're on
you.
If you're on any of the stages at the Comedy Store and you're a woman.
No.
No.
We first all got on that stage by being funny. First
and also,
all,
don't criticize women for fucking men ever so they can get somewhere. That's a system men created, okay?
Yeah.
That's something you guys put into fucking place, all right? And if there's women out there who still subscribe to that system and feel like that's their only option to get ahead, that's on you fucking guys to undo. Don't make it our fault. Well, she should know better. You should know better. You created the fucking system. You make it. You made it. You unmake it. And also, don't... Don't assume
that because a woman fucking has something, she had to fuck someone. That is, by the way, just as misogynistic as being the guy who's like, oh, fucking, you can have a spot if you blow me. Like, you are just as bad as genuinely being that person. I'm not even talking about someone making a joke about that or making light of it. Like, fuck you for thinking that any woman who has, especially if you're a woman, especially if a woman has something you don't have and that your only logic is to go, oh, she must have fucked somebody for that.
Maybe you weren't funny, bitch.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, sometimes women are successful. And also, maybe somebody is really fucking hot. That doesn't mean they're not funny. That doesn't mean they didn't work hard. And also, so because I made a statement about this on Twitter, and then someone who, why am I even responding to this? They literally had one follower, but they literally responded to me like yelling at a girl who implied that women at the store or in comedy who made it had to fuck for it. They're like, but it does seem pretty strange that, you know, everyone who's successful is hypersexual and pretty, right? It's, first of all,
oh, that is victim blaming. That's like, you're the person who says that she got raped because she was wearing a short skirt.
Yeah. Also, A, sex sells. Yeah. People like dirty jokes. So there are a lot of female comedians who are successful. Not all of them, by the way. There's plenty who don't talk about sex. No one's like, oh, Roseanne, that hypersexual.
Yeah,
oh my
that
God,
fuck
Jackie,
machine.
Jackie Cation just can't stop
oh
talking
my God.
About squirting.
Chelsea Peretti.
Like, all they do
oh, she is
suck.
The biggest cum guzzler ever.
No.
No.
And also, if you go, it's pretty strange that they're all pretty. Have you been to Hollywood, you dumb fuck? Like it or not, people pick the pretty people. It's also, there have been psychological studies done that we trust and elevate people who are physically attractive with asymmetrical faces. That's not, someone being hot doesn't mean they're fucking anyone. As a matter of fact, if you're a hot woman, you can probably get a lot more without fucking somebody because men
just want to have you around because you're hot.
Yeah, and also, men will give you things if they think you might show them a nipple, like, or if you just give them a little attention.
Or might hug them for 2 seconds too long.
And that's not a woman's fault.
Yeah.
And I say, if a man's giving you a spot because he's like, I just like to look at her, fuck it. Show up. Let him like to look at you and then go on stage and drop your big old comedy tits on the table and blow everybody out of the water.
Speaking of big old comedy tits, a few years ago, I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if she would like me sharing the story, but a comedian who has very, very, very large breasts. She said to me, she's like, I have a really big meeting with this, you know, production company. I'm really excited. But I feel like the only reason I got the meeting is because I have really big tits. I'm like, maybe it is. Maybe that is the reason.
I want tits.
But that'll get you in the fucking door. And once you're in there, you show them how fucking great you are so you don't ever have to leave that room.
That's right. You put the tit in the door to stop it from closing.
That's it. It's a doorstop. If your tits are heavy enough, you can just lodge it in the door.
After me.
Everybody pile in.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. You know what? Ladies, there's a couple tools we have in our tools box that men don't have. That doesn't mean using them is demeaning to, I mean, I wouldn't use them personally just because, I don't know. I don't know why. I just wouldn't. Also, I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, if fucking your way to the top, if I thought it actually worked, I would do it. Like, if I could fuck someone.
It doesn't
if
work.
There's no guarantee. I'd rather not fuck someone with no guarantee than fuck someone with no guarantee. Like, unless you hand me a $500 million contract for Warner Brothers Studio. I don't know how contracts or studios work, but you get what I'm saying. And you're like, this is a guarantee. Sign on the dotted line. This is coming to you. And then you can do comedy shows anytime you want. If you fuck this guy, if I knew it was that much of a fucking guarantee, I would fuck a dude. But it's not. So I'm not.
I don't even know what to say.
You wouldn't, if someone was like, if you fuck this guy for $500 million and you can do movies, you can do TV, you can do whatever you want.
No,
you can do
I stand-up. Have not fucked people because I was worried later if I fucked them for wanting to fuck them. Pure, like, I, mean, I have not fucked people heinous. I was attracted to because I thought it would be held against me. But that's also like its own form of fucked upness that I have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. That it's like, oh, now I can't just have sex with someone I want to have sex with because God forbid I do something and later someone's like, oh, well, she once 10 years ago had sex with this man who works at a studio.
Yeah, and I agree with all of this. I've subscribed to all of that that you're saying. I'm just saying if there was this isolated scenario where it was a guarantee, which is never going to happen. I'm talking about inconceivable.
Also, by the way, there are people who have tried. And here's the thing. If you want to fuck to get your way in the door, you better have something to bring in the fucking door.
Yeah.
Like,
once you get in there, you better fucking decorate.
Yeah, you can't fuck your way into being talented. Yeah. No woman you see making people laugh, it's like, well, she's only up there because she fucked someone.
Yeah.
No, she's funny.
Yeah.
And if you're funny, you don't have to fuck anyone to get stage time. Now more than ever, people want women on their stages. So the idea that that is a thing, this is a completely different fucking rant.
Yeah, this is a whole different rant. But it all kind of comes from the same machine.
The same system that mm-hmm. like the idea that women can be treated as objects or that we have to see ourselves as objects. And circling back to men who want to fuck teenagers, by the way, this is what I was saying. I got a little distracted, but if you're a man wanting to fuck a grown ass man, I'm talking
35 plus.
30 plus.
Okay.
And you want to fuck someone who's 20, 18, 19? How bad do you need someone to see you as cool and smart and like the guy that you have to fucking go to someone who has so much less life experience because women your age can see through your fucking stupid bullshit.
Yep.
Because a woman your age isn't impressed that you have a car? There, wow! Oh, do you have a nice car? You have your own apartment? Fuck off.
There's another comic whose head is currently on the chopping block. We'll talk about him another time. Who consistently dates much younger women, and it's that what you're describing.
That it's you have to find someone.
You don't
who
want
is
someone
impressed.
Who's you want to find someone who's not going to see through what a fucking phony you are.
You're like a bullshit fucking artist child.
Yeah. You never have to grow up. No one's, that girl's never going to hold you accountable for anything. Not to say that there aren't, you know, younger, mature girls, but on the whole, I've been 20. I was an idiot.
Yeah. Same.
I was an idiot maybe till like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm still an idiot sometimes.
Yeah. You're, for sure. I live with you. You're a moron.
But it's like that you need to be in this position of the one with the power. You need your partner to see you as like so great instead of as a fucking partner, by the way, and equal, which is what a partnership
should
be.
You want someone to look up to you.
Yeah.
Have a kid. If you want someone to look up to you, be a parent.
Yeah.
Your kids will look up to you. Ugh. You want to be a role model to someone? I mean, this person being a parent is the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
Raise a daughter. How about that? Maybe that'll make you think about the fucking way you treat.
And that's what's crazy to me is some of these fucking creeps, they have kids. They have daughters. They still act like this.
Ugh. It's so gross.
Would you want someone?
I mean, with the amount of men, the fucking guys being like, this is so horrifying when it's like, oh yeah, but you just fucking cheat on your wife left and right.
Uh-huh.
But let's fucking be horrified by our friend who.
Yeah. You're so traumatized.
Yeah. You're a.
One second. I just got to text this girl back because I'm actively cheating on my wife.
Yeah. Boo hoo. By the way, let me check my DMs.
Yeah.
Fucking. Oh.
Anywho. Well, this will probably get us kicked out of comedy.
I don't care.
I mean, it's not like we're even in comedy that much
at this point.
Comedy's
not even going on. I do want to say this, circling back to the fact that people are highlighting comedians who, I guess they are at the store. They're also on tour. They're everywhere. By the way, they're at any club that they want to be at. Mm-hmm. Is the anyone who is coming under fire isn't exclusively a store comedian.
Yeah.
They may hang out there. I'm not denying that.
But that's only because the Comedy Store is really the only club that you can hang out at.
I mean, yeah, it's a very hangout friendly, comic friendly club. I will say my experience with the staff there and a lot of comedians who you're not hearing about, who you probably have never even fucking heard of. There are a lot of great people at the Comedy Store.
Amazing, amazing people at the Comedy Store.
It bums me out to hear that there are people who have been afraid or anxious about even going to the Comedy Store because my experience has been so
great,
welcoming.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because the Comedy Store is a pretty amazing place.
Yeah. And I've had conversations with all kinds of people and there's lots of great people and it's hard. It's weird to learn that it feels like when you realize that your parents are
human
instead of superheroes and you're like, oh, this is upsetting.
Yeah. Oh, my parents both made mistakes.
At a deeper level.
Yeah. This really is.
This is our home.
We said this yesterday when we were talking. You know, these comics who are getting in trouble, they're basically our coworkers.
Yeah.
And it's not like there were coworkers in an office. We are coworkers in a space that's very family-like. It's a very big community. So it's like, not only is it like a coworker, but it's like a member of our community, a member of our family fucked up real bad.
And that is uncomfortable.
Yeah. And people are like, you know, both Jessica Michelle and I felt this pressure to make some sort of statement because that's our home. And it's not on us as women to fix this problem.
No.
Sexism is a system that is not our problem.
I mean,
it is our problem, but it's not our problem to fix.
But it's not. Yeah, it's fucking men. You need to be accountable. More than that, you need to hold your fucking friends accountable.
Yeah. Speak the fuck up, guys.
When a dude you hang out with thinks it's cool to like talk about a woman like she's a fucking piece of meat, to be predatory or just abusive about women, you need to say something.
Yeah.
You need to quit being a fucking bitch is what you're being, by the way, is that you're like, I don't want to. If you think speaking up to your male friends about objectifying women makes you look like a pussy, no, not doing it is a super pussy move.
Yeah. Have some fucking balls.
Yeah.
Grow or do you just hate women that much?
Either way, we'll get you. I'm kidding. We have absolutely no influence and that may never change.
Please don't cancel us either.
I think I'm going to get a master's in humanities and just become some sort of hopeless speaker.
I'm just going to try and get pregnant.
Godspeed.
All right, bye.
Hey guys, it's JMS. I want to take a quick second to tell you about my friends at Fadeaway Candle Company. I'm a big fan of candles. I think we all know this. Easy way to make yourself feel relaxed, feel like you're luxuriating even if you're in a tiny studio apartment. You light a couple candles, get your feel good on. Fadeaway Candle Company can help you with that. All of their candles are hand poured in their studio in San Diego and then hand labeled and hand packaged to be delivered to you. And all the candles use all natural premium coconut wax, which is toxin free. They're GMO and phthalate free, which means they burn cleanly and evenly all the way down. And they've got a lot of amazing scents. And this is the important part for me, the smell of the candle. A lot of us are using candles to enhance the smell of our homes or our offices. And these guys offer scents that you don't find a lot of places. They've got Fruity Loops. They've got Caribbean Teakwood. They've got bourbon butterscotch. Maybe you're a dude in a bachelor pad. You want to spice it up but keep it manly. What better way than a bourbon butterscotch scented candle? Perfect. Everything you need. Now you can invite a girl over and she doesn't know that what it really smells like in your apartment is socks full of cum. They also carry soaps, sanitizers, wax melts, which absorb heat slowly and release aromas without burning the oils, which allows the wax to continue to release the scent without the fragrance evaporating super quickly. So you got that long lasting smell. And right now, if you hurry, you can get 15% off for Father's Day, and all U.S. orders over $25 have free shipping. Excuse me. So head over to fadeawaycandleco.com. That's C-O at the end. fadeawaycandleco.com. Check out some candles. Get yourself a gift. Get your dad a gift. Get my dad a gift if you know who he is. I don't. Enjoy, guys. fadeawaycandleco.com. Okay, we're getting started. Book time, chapter 19. We're talking about.
Wait, did you just start it or you had it paused?
Yeah, I just started it.
Okay, sorry guys, I'm a little dense.
Nobody thinks I know how to do my job because
no. I just
never do anything.
I'm wearing fake glasses, so I can't see shit.
I'm wearing fake glasses because
I made you do it.
How weak of a constitution I have is that. I have an entire bit making fun of people in fake glasses, and here I am
in
because Nicole said, let's wear fake glasses.
Yeah. Peer pressure.
Is it? I mean,
it's crippling for some people.
Hardly pressure. I just went, okay.
Yeah.
Like
it's like a peer nudge.
That's like if all your friends were jumping off a bridge. Yeah. No, first of all, that was my idea to begin with. I've been talking about suicide.
She's the bridge jumper. That's hers.
And now you guys are jumping.
Sure.
Oh, fuck
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
And on the way down, I'm going to be like, this was my idea first.
And then I told you so.
Anyway.
All right. Chapter 19.
So we left off at the end of our last episode. Snape had just appeared in the room in the Shrieking Shack where we have Lupin, Sirius Black,
and
all
the
three people. And allegedly this rat is not who we think it is where we left off.
Yeah. The rat is... Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah, this is what they are alleging.
Mm-hmm.
Snape has come in at the end of the last chapter, so we pick
up... By the way,
the
name of this chapter is The Servant of Lord Voldemort. So I'm immediately thinking, all right, we're finally going to meet who the real bad guy is.
Let me ask you this. With the previous chapter ending, Snape appearing and saying something, that's how it ends. Do you see the title of this chapter in any part of you? Did you go... Oh, Snape is with Lord Voldemort, even like
no,
a little bit?
No, and that's only because I see his face. I've seen his face in other promos for the movies.
Oh, she
I know
thinks
he continues.
That people who continue on couldn't possibly be.
Oh, I do think he's
Lord
bad.
Voldemort.
I do think he's bad, but I think in this case, like whoever the person is who's associated with Lord Voldemort for this, I feel like ultimately like they meet their end.
Only time will tell.
Anywho, so...
Snape's crazy.
It starts off, Snape's lost it.
Like, he, like, thinks that he's caught everyone in the act, so to speak.
Yep.
Here's Sirius Black. I knew this day would come. What a reckoning, because apparently they all Sirius and Lupin all ran with James Potter is what we're finding
and
out.
And they all played a trick on him.
And so
and Snape, he's just a bitter Betty.
I mean, but imagine, put yourself in Snape's shoes, which is hard to do. But I mean, these people were so mean to you and now you get to be the one to like put them back
in their place.
In place. Yeah. I mean, that's
you get redemption. To you get revenge. And by the way, very what's the word I'm looking for? Very
petty? No, I don't know.
I mean, I guess
say.
If someone was potentially going to kill you, there really is no. It just seemed a little extreme. Like Sirius was like, "Oh, you have to go to Azkaban? That's extreme."
I mean,
you should go back to Azkaban.
But if you thought this was someone who during a prank was going to kill you, mm-hmm. and then you truly believed that this person later turned out to be a murderer, which confirmed that this person is
true.
A crazy psycho, which is what you thought all along and felt like you were being gaslit.
Mm-hmm.
Still, he's like a lunatic. And Harry and Ron and Hermione are trying to be like, you got it. Like, let's listen to Lupin's
like, chill
story.
Out.
And he's just...
And he's not having any of it.
Wild eyes. And then what happens is...
I love this part so much because at this point, I fucking hate Snape. I think Snape's a bully. I think he's mean. I'm looking forward to him dying at some point in the books.
Oh, boy.
He has no redeeming qualities so far. None at all. I think he's a fucking snake. So when they were all decide to, they're fighting. Snape talks shit about Harry's family. Harry goes to like, take his wand out.
He tries to disarm Snape. Expelliarmus.
And then Hermione and Ron all do it at the same time. And I guess three Expelliarmuses make for...
Expelliarmi? It gets ugly. Too much magic at once. Yeah. So what is normally just a disarming spell, which is, you know, a bit of a shock, but isn't physically doesn't physically injure you, throws Snape back into the wall. He hits his head. Knocks his ass out.
Knocks out, and wand gone. And that I loved. We haven't yet seen all three in action together.
That's true because it's always been Ron has to stay behind.
Yeah,
Hermione
has to stay behind. Yeah, so it's the three of them fighting together at the same time. I was like, yes.
Well, and then Hermione has the thought that I immediately have, which is like, oh no, we just attacked a teacher.
And I didn't have that thought at all. At no point did that cross my mind. I was just like, fuck him. Dumbledore's totally gonna understand. But then like, yeah, they fucking attacked
you
a teacher.
Assaulted a teacher.
Yeah,
like, that's
and ugh. Snape. Snape won't let that go.
Oh, yeah. He's gonna go.
He's going to ride that the way.
I've realized where you were coming from. There's not going to be
No.
Fuck. No. I mean, he's holding on to a how many year grudge with Lupin. And
yeah.
These
he lets go of nothing. And now the part that worries me is I'm like, oh, this just makes his grudge with Harry even deeper.
Because now
and
it's
all
personal
of them, yeah.
with him, not just the grudge he had with his father, which if we know any, like that is just an example of how deep his grudges will go. James Potter is dead.
Dead.
Like, you
his
win,
son,
Snape.
And his son put the most evil man in the world out of commission.
That it's like, yeah, just move on.
Yeah, and accept the fact that Harry did everyone a huge favor.
Yeah, sorry that you're
but
pissed.
But you're pissed because secretly, you're a fucking fan of Lord Voldemort. And if Lord Voldemort comes back, you'll be right on his fucking side, which will eventually happen, and
sucking
he's going to die.
Oh.
Sucking on Voldy Dick.
So we now know where you stand on that. But.
Yep. So now the kids are like, all right, Lupin, finish this goddamn
story.
Yeah,
they're like giving him the benefit of the doubt to be like, explain what you're saying.
What's this Peter Pettigrew shit?
Yeah.
And you know,
Black
Lupin, Sirius Black. I'm getting at these names fucking tangled a million times. Sirius Black is like, listen, I saw the picture in the, what was that? The Daily Prophet. There was a picture of Ron and his whole family in Egypt.
Because they won the Daily Prophet drawing thing.
And then, you know, rather than using that money for something, they decided to go to Egypt and visit his brother.
I mean... Come on, poor
when you're
people.
Poor,
we got to get out of poverty.
Vacation. Like, it's a vicious cycle and it perpetuates itself.
Absolutely.
So in the picture is
Scabbers. And he recognizes Scabbers. By the way,
I love how he's like, and Scabbers was missing a toe. I'm like, there's no fucking way.
A newspaper picture.
A grainy newspaper picture.
Wait, he recognized that in the... No, I thought he just recognized him in the picture and now he's seeing he's missing a toe. Because he knew that rat so well because... Peter Pettigrew was in their friend group and they all were Animagus.
Yeah.
Animagi.
And he knew that that was the creature that he turned into.
So it's like a specific looking rat. I assume a rat that looks that. I feel like if I was an Animagi, if it seems like it has to do with your wizarding capability. But I feel like if it had to do with what animal you looked like, I would be a rat or a chipmunk or a mouse. I'd definitely be a rodent.
I say a chipmunk. You're cute. You're chipmunky. You're cute.
Or a little squirrel.
Yeah. Squirrel, chipmunk. What would I be?
A giraffe.
Yeah.
I'm a giraffe. Just, like, tall.
I'm a giraffe
creature. Or a gazelle.
I feel like giraffe.
I feel like you're not that tall.
No, I feel like it is.
You could do, you are necky.
Anywho, anyway. So, and then Ron's like, what? Why would this be? Why would
That's
this be
crazy? We've had him
Peter
forever.
Pettigrew. And
we've
he's
had
like
him for 12 years.
He's like,
you're like, yeah.
Didn't you know that the only part they found of Peter fucking Pettigrew after he was fucking exploded was a toe?
And your rat is missing,
missing
a finger?
Missing a toe.
Did that ever consider? Yeah. Did you ever consider
yeah.
that?
So Ron's like, nah, maybe, who fucking knows?
He's like, that's a fair coincidence.
And Harry's just fucking yelling at he's still fucking pissed.
He's all over the place.
And Black says that Peter faked his own death, that he was the one who was the secret keeper. At the last minute, Sirius Black was like, I shouldn't be your secret keeper. It should be Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah, and the reason they did that is because his logic, which I understand, which the fucking guilt he's been living with, his logic was Voldemort's going to assume I'm your secret keeper. No one is going to assume you would give this weak
ass bitch
fringe buddy of yours, like,
yeah,
because he's so easily
manipulated.
They know you're too smart to do that, so let's do that.
And that backfired.
And so Sirius has been living because that was his idea.
And Sirius blames himself for their death because he did that. So in the beginning, when someone's like, you killed my parents, it was a few chapters ago, Harry was like, you killed my parents, and Sirius was like, well, you're not wrong. And it was like, I was like, oh no, he did kill his parents. And now this revealed to me, he just feels like he's the one.
He's responsible
He's
for
the
it.
One who did it, did his parents in. And well, it's, he feels fucking awful
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, because that was his best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was his job. I mean, not his job, but they were all trying to look out for each other. And this fucking rat, according to them, stabbed them all in the back and then had the audacity to confront Sirius and make a scene to make it look like it was Sirius.
And Sirius was the one chasing after him.
Yeah.
It wasn't Peter. The whole story in the beginning was Peter Pettigrew chasing him. Nah.
No.
Sirius was chasing.
Sirius is like, fuck you. You're going down.
You're a piece of shit.
And then, whoa, it was that Peter Pettigrew tried to yell it, make it seem like, oh, like, why did they even think it was Sirius? Peter Pettigrew tried to do a curse on Sirius and it backfired. Is that what happened?
Maybe something like that. Anyways, Harry's fucking pissed about this. Finally, Ron,
it's like enough story evidence and
they're like, we will turn your rat into Peter Pettigrew.
They're like, we're going to do a spell.
And if he's not Peter Pettigrew, nothing's going to happen.
It won't hurt him.
Nothing.
It'll be fine.
But if it's Peter Pettigrew, it's going to turn into fucking Peter Pettigrew.
So Lupin does the spell.
Presto fucking magic. It's goddamn fucking Peter Pettigrew.
Just a gross little mousy man shivering like a fucking bitch.
Anywho, Peter's making all kinds of excuses. Sirius and Lupin are like digging into him, asking a million questions. Then Hermione, you know, chimes in with her million questions as well. Because not just toward
Peter, but like all of them.
Hermione wants to know how Black got out of Azkaban. Because no one can get out of Azkaban. How did he get out?
Yeah.
And he's like, listen,
He's like, I kept my brain.
I knew I was innocent. He kept his brain together. And when he saw the picture of Peter Pettigrew as the rat in Ron's family picture, he was like, oh, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
That gave
and I'm
him
getting
enough strength.
Fucking revenge.
Yeah. So basically.
Oh, and also what was really cool was every time the Dementors came around him when he was in prison, this was crazy to me because Dementors don't have the same effect on animals.
No, and they don't have eyeballs.
They sense
your emotion.
Yeah. So, and they can't sense animals as much. So the whole time Sirius is in there, every time one of the Dementors came around, because he's an animagi, he would turn into his dog form and like preserve himself.
Yeah, so he was keeping himself sane by
fucking amazing.
Sneaking under the radar because they don't see you. Also, it's like all of your guards just don't have eyes, but yeah. You think that this is safer?
Yeah.
What a dumbass move.
You have a bunch of intuitive people. What are you, fucking palm readers?
But I guess it's like, in theory, everyone who's an animagi would be registered, so maybe if they arrested someone who was a known animagi, they'd put them elsewhere.
Elsewhere, yeah.
So, and also the fact he knew he was innocent, so that was a little shred of sanity.
I mean, I also think that could have gone the other way. Like, if you know you're innocent, wouldn't you be just fucking angry and, like, losing your fucking mind the whole time?
Yeah, I got in trouble once for cheating in
and you weren't cheating?
And I hadn't been cheating.
Oh, you probably lost your goddamn mind.
Yeah, well, I called my mom, and she was like, I was crying because I was so upset because I had worked so fucking hard.
I mean, you were a fucking nerd. Of course you did.
And then she's like, well, you wouldn't be crying if you hadn't done it.
And you're like, no.
I had to go to in-school school suspension, and I go on the record, not that it means anything to anyone now, and nearly failing eighth grade didn't stop me from becoming this fucking really average person that I am. But I was in gifted classes. And then when that happened, I just stopped doing my work because I was just like, I'm done.
One false accusation.
I could have been something.
Guilty in the court of public opinion. Seems
my
relevant.
Own mother.
Seems
anyway.
Relevant. Okay. So, wait, where were we?
So, I mean, Hermione's grilling him about like, How'd you escape?
So when he escaped, he turned into the dog and slipped out.
Yeah, because they
swam across the shore, made it out.
Still as the dog. And so they he gives enough points that like makes sense that
the kids buy it.
Yeah, that they're like, well, there's no other logical reason any of this could be the case.
And now that everybody's on his side, Lupin and Sirius are like, all right, motherfucker, time to die. They're going to fucking off Peter.
Yeah.
And Peter, you know, the sniveling little piece of shit that he is like, no, there's something about Peter that reminds me of Malfoy. Like just a sniveling little fucking cunt.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, but even worse.
Worse,
yeah. He just seems like such.
He's like a combination of Malfoy and Neville.
Yeah.
Just like a little, like just like ineffective cunt.
Like, just like that he does the bidding of someone else and is
like
just
when he
so
jerks off, he licks his fingers when he's done. Like, just a real piece of shit. Okay.
Oh, God. Like 1,000% sub in like a non-fun way.
And so finally Peter breaks down when they're just laying into him. And he's like, I did it.
What was I supposed to do?
What was I supposed to do? Lord Voldemort was going to fucking kill me. And they're
so
like,
he tries to be like, I didn't have a choice.
And they're like, yeah, you did. Your choice was to die.
Yeah.
You signed on for Lord Voldemort. That's what you get. Instead, you ruin everybody else's fucking
life. Yeah, that was it Sirius or Lupin? I can't remember who was like, yeah, no, it's Sirius. It's like, you should have died. If it came to me and it was reveal your friends or die, I would die.
Anyways, and Peter, you know, didn't do that. He turned everybody over.
Just fucking.
So they're about to fucking off him. And at the last minute, Harry's like, no.
Harry gets a conscience.
Oh, well, Peter did say to him, your father would never want this. And I think that's
because
stuck in his head.
Peter
somewhere.
Went, by the way, from person to person in the room at their feet, groveling, going, please help me. Yeah, you must care. And it's just like such a grotesque.
Just
picturing, like visual,
especially with how gross he is. Ugh.
Just so disgusting.
Just like he looks like Smeagol. Like that's what I'm imagining.
Oh, wait till you see the movie. Like, he is.
Okay, cool.
He is very gross. And then but he got through to Harry because Harry goes, no.
Yeah, my dad wouldn't want this. My dad wouldn't want his friends to be a murderer of another one.
Yeah,
of their friends.
He wouldn't. It's basically like, don't sink to the other person's level.
Which, so he's like, let's take him. Make him a prisoner at Azkaban for the rest of his life. Everyone's like, cool. By the way, Snape is out fucking cold this whole time.
The whole time.
So they're like, all right, let's do this. Let's go back to let's go back to Hogwarts. And they bind up Peter Pettigrew and
they tie
Sirius
him to,
and Lupin.
Lupin and Ron are tied to Sirius.
Oh, Lupin and Ron are tied to Sirius.
To make sure he can't get away. And then Sirius does a spell. They put like, they wrap stuff around Snape into a spell where they're basically dragging
Snape's floating
unconscious body.
And I love that they kept like accidentally like hitting his head
on the ceiling and shit, and fucking Snape, I mean, Sirius doesn't give a fuck. Sirius he's just like dragging him around.
Whoopsie daisy.
Well, I mean, because this guy's about to put you away, and now it's just almost, to me, it's like, this is Min in a nutshell.
Yeah, that like, really just,
you're holding, like, the fact that people say women are emotional and petty, it's like, all right.
Yeah, yeah, fucking, yeah. We also aren't in a codependent relationship with our egos, so.
I don't know. Something to think about.
Anywho, so that's it. And, so they head out, and they're going back. And then
that's kind of where the chapter ends. And then we'll head into the next chapter right after this. Okay, chapter 20, the Dementor's Kiss. This one's pretty short. It's important, but...
It's important, and one of my favorite moments in all of Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like, listen, like, this was a fucking tearjerker for me.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens is they are carrying Snape, everyone out to the end, Whomping Willow. They're exiting toward the school, uh-huh. and they're going to bring Peter Pettigrew to Fudge, explain what happened, mm-hmm. you know, exonerate Sirius. Is that the right word?
Yeah, exonerate. And they're going through the tunnel, and like, you know, Sirius and Harry are like making small talk. They're talking, whatever.
And they get out. They're walking across the lawn.
And Sirius Black is like, by the way, I'm your...
in the tunnel, sorry.
In the tunnel. They're in the tunnel talking. And Sirius Black is like, by the way, I don't know if you know, but I'm your godfather. And Harry's like, yeah, I knew. He's like, so when this is all over...
You probably don't want to.
You might not want to. You're probably going to want to live with the Dursleys again, but you can live with me. And that just fucking... Oh, my heart. My heart. And that... I had that thought at some point when I found out that he was his godfather. I was like, oh my God, if he's actually a good guy, he can be Harry's like new dad.
Wait, you had that thought?
Yeah, I had that thought.
You heard Sirius, this known murderer, was his godfather. Yeah. And your instinct was, what if he's a good guy?
I did think Sirius was a good guy in a few different points. I was like, you know, what if he's not the bad guy? Cause like, you know, it's like, of course I'm thinking like, oh, JK is going to throw in a fucking twist and turn. And aha, the guy you think is the bad guy is actually not the bad guy. It's really another guy. I didn't think it was going to be Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
But I definitely was like, it might not be Sirius Black. And there was a twist. But somewhere in my mind, I was like, oh, that would be cool if it was his godfather and he does turn out to be a good guy. He could go live with him. That would be cool. Then he doesn't have to deal with the Dursleys anymore.
And he says that, and like Harry lights up because... Yeah. I mean, obviously Dursleys are fucking shitty. Yeah. So they get out of the tunnel. Excuse me. I jumped ahead. Okay. Now they're walking across the lawn and the clouds move back from the moon, which is a full fucking moon,
which is not a good deal.
Yeah. Because by the way, Snape ended up in the, we didn't even cover this. I don't think Snape ends up finding them when they're back at the shrieking shack, because he went to deliver
the Lupin's anti-werewolf potion.
And
found the Marauder's map.
And then saw them all there. And he was like, it's fucking go time. So Lupin has not had his potion.
So Lupin, he go werewolf.
Yeah, he's turning into a fucking werewolf. And Sirius is like, run.
He's going to Teen Wolf.
It's not. This is not a good killer. Teen Wolf. This is not Twilight bullshit. I don't even remember.
This isn't good on the basketball team. Gets chicks. Teen Wolf.
No, this
okay?
is like, I will kill you all.
I will dismember all of you. Remember... They were going to trick Snape into walking in on Lupin as a werewolf. Like, he's deadly. Like, this is not good.
Yeah. And so.
And Ron is fucking attached to Lupin.
Yeah.
And Peter Pettigrew is between them.
Yeah. So in the fucking chaos, Sirius is like, I'll try to hold him back. They all run away. Did Ron run with them?
What happened to Ron? Ron knocks out. Yeah.
Okay.
Peter grabs Lupin's wand and turns himself back into a fucking rat.
Wait, no, he just turns himself back. He doesn't need a wand.
Oh, right. He can do that. Oh,
you don't need he has no hands. He's a rat.
Oh, well then why does he grab Lupin's wand? Whatever. He turns back into.
I thought he turned back in and then took his wand. Maybe I'm wrong.
So somehow Ron gets knocked out. I'm not entirely sure. I can't remember how that happened. There was a lot of hubbub. And Lupin, Sirius is like, I'll take care of this. You guys go. Run. Get out of here.
So they run for their life, headed toward the fucking lake by the Whomping Willow.
And Black is pursuing in hot pursuit of Rat Peter.
Yeah.
And Harry and Hermione follow him because they're all getting away from Lupin.
Yeah, they're just...
And Lupin runs into the forest.
Yeah, Lupin has just gone off werewolfing.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to werewolf. I got to get away from everybody.
I
got to
go as far away
he
as
knows
I
that he knows that he needs to get away.
Yeah, because he knows how dangerous he is because he has no control once he fully goes werewolf. And so they run. I mean, they're fucking hauling ass trying to catch Peter Scabbers. And then all of a sudden it's like dark and cold.
And Harry gets the fucking... Like I feel like it's like food poisoning shits where you get like, you get the chills.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden like, they realize.
And you're like, I don't know if I'm going to have diarrhea or vomit.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like they're on the bank of this lake and
they're surrounded by
Dementors.
Surrounded by wall to wall Dementors. And this is the first time it affected Hermione. Hermione passes out because it's over. There was just too many. It was overwhelming.
Well, but he tries to convey what the spell is to her because
she's never done a Patronus.
He knows a spell because he's been working with Lupin. So he's sitting there trying to go expecto Patronum. She tries. She passes out, and he's there trying as hard as he can. He finally like starts to black out.
There was a part of me that was like, oh, fucking Hermione's gonna get this because she's such a spell master.
But the thing about Hermione is, I don't know if Hermione is exceptionally gifted with spells or if she's just very
a really
studious.
Good student. Yeah, I think it's probably more really good student and also just a very just like an intelligent person. Like, I don't think it's necessarily like she's the greatest wizard ever.
Yeah.
But I think she has a natural inclination for picking up information.
And she
works her fucking dick off.
She works her fucking ass off. So, I mean, it's like. Everything's going black. You know what I mean? He tries hard. He produces a little sputter of the fucking...
Barely anything comes out.
You know, dribble jizz of a spell. And right before he passes out across the lake...
Oh, and Sirius passes out too.
Oh, yeah. Sirius is fucking gone. And...
Right as he's about to pass out...
He sees a silver animal come...
Across the lake.
Galloping
like
across the lake.
Galloping across the water... A Jesus silver thing.
Like a shooing the Dementors. And he looks across the lake and he sees someone and thinks like, no way, it can't be.
No way, it can't be. And then the Dementors like takes his hood back. He's leaning down. He's going
to
give Harry a fucking kiss.
Like, which
and
is,
we know about what the Dementors kiss is. So yeah. I'm just like, I'm like, all right, we're in a time crunch right
it's
now.
Worse
obviously,
than death.
I know Harry's not going to die. Like, die. But I'm like, oh, fuck, what the fuck is going to happen? I have no idea. And then that silver thing that's coming across the lake.
Right as Harry's like passing out.
Drives the Dementors away.
Charges them all.
And they just back off. And then, you know, as he's passing out, he like looks at this silvery shadow again on the other side of the lake with someone who like riding back to someone who looks familiar. And it's this stag silver shadow.
Yeah.
And ends up with someone familiar. So
that's where we're left.
And that's where we're left.
He's just like, it can't be. And then he fucking passes out from.
I am thinking, and I screamed when we were reading it. I was like, fucking his dad's alive. James is alive. I'm like, James is alive because James's animagi was a fucking horse.
So you're thinking the thing
and I'm
coming
thinking
out.
He's back. He's actually back. And the familiar person that he comes up on is his mom. So he sees his mom and dad across the lake.
Wait, oh, so you're thinking that stag is his dad.
I'm thinking that stag is actually his dad, that he didn't actually die. He's been in hiding. Like, all those people, we thought Peter Pettigrew died in the big...
So it's like, what? Who's to say
that? Yeah, who's to say that they're not dead?
Also, yeah, I mean, that is so hopeful. And also, can you imagine if they were alive this whole... Anyway.
And they were just letting him suffer with the Dursleys?
Like, we thought it was safer. They actually just like, it was that song Away in the 90s.
I'd have been pissed if I were
like,
him.
Yeah, you know, we won the Daily Prophet drawing, so we just abandoned you with the Dursleys.
Yeah. We went to Egypt as well.
And never came back. Anyways, that's the end of that chapter. Very quick.
Super quick. Very, very, very important. And I think that might have been one of my favorite chapters just for the exchange of I'm your godfather.
Yeah.
And that gave me a whole different hope because I was like, oh, damn. I hope she gets to write, JK is going to write a fun chapter of like what Harry did during the summer with his godfather. Like all of a sudden, like he's got his life back. It's like Stella got her groove back, and Sirius Black, like I could just imagine Sirius Black just like plowing through pussy for the summer and Harry just like going along with him, and Harry like loses his virginity to some like badass witch.
Wait, you think that his uncle is just going to take him on like a sex brigade?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, the man's been in prison for a long time. He's been in prison for 13 years. He's got to get some witch puss.
I mean,
he's going to ride that nice night bus to Puss Town.
How do you know he fucks witches?
Oh, by the way, he was like, oh, by the way, Harry, that was me when you first left the Dursleys. I didn't want to scare you. Sorry. My bad.
Oh, yeah. When he saw him at the night bus, which I assume. Yeah. Like, I think we all assume.
I mean, I didn't assume that. I was like, maybe it's another. I mean, that was one of my options. But I was like,
there's a Crookshanks thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I still think Crookshanks is going to fucking turn into a person. I don't know who, but yeah. At this point, I'm like, Crookshanks is, there's more to this story.
We'll find out. We'll be right back. All right.
Bye. Hi, guys. It's Nicole Amy Schreiber.
And Jessica Michelle Singleton.
And we want to promote some amazing people today.
We absolutely do.
Particularly a man by the name of Ron Funches.
You probably already know him. You probably already love him. But in case you live under a rock and have not heard from this hilarious man,
he is a comedian here in Los Angeles, and he's tours worldwide, so he's not just in Los Angeles. But he has an amazing podcast called the Getting Better Podcast. He also has a new show coming to Quibi called Nice One. He's going to be the host of it. So watch that.
Yeah. Perfect name, because he's a perfectly nice is an understatement for
he's the physical manifestation of kindness and joy.
Yeah, he's a human sunshine.
He's human sunshine. He is the Labrador, like it's just a happy golden retriever Labrador of a human being. Like that's like,
I love that you equate all people to dogs.
Well, I have to equate all people to dogs. It's the only way I see the world.
He's amazing. He's super funny and just a delight. You want to get some happy, delightful joy into your ears, go check out Getting Better with Ron Funches.
And it's insightful, too. It's not just joy. You're going to learn something. So tune in to Mr. Funches.
Chapter 21.
Hermione's Secret.
Woo, baby!
So now that I know Hermione's Secret's going to be revealed, I'm like, I have no idea what's coming.
When you see the title, Hermione's Secret.
Hermione's Secret, I'm thinking it has something to do with her ability to be in a million different places at once.
You did?
I think the thing that they kept being like, how is Hermione getting to all of her classes?
So you were like, this
so
has
I'm
to
like,
be
it
something.
Has to be, well, her secret has to be something that explains why that's happening. I, in my wildest imagination, could not have conceived of what it actually was. Like, because I know it has something to do with Professor McGonagall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is she morphing into another student at the same... Like, I'm like, what is she... What did McGonagall... What sort of witchy shit did she teach her that she could be doing this? At no point in my mind did I think she was going to be a fucking time traveler.
That's so funny. You're like, no, I thought there were like clones of her that were basically serving as... mental zooms for her to consume the information later.
Yeah, there's somebody who took notes for her.
Fuck. Well, we'll get to that. So Harry wakes up in the hospital wing.
Everybody's in the hospital wing.
Yeah.
Harry, Ron,
Ron's
Hermione,
still fucking totally
everybody's
out.
And Ron's fucking leg is trash.
Yeah. No, it's
he's
fucked.
A broken fucking bird.
Like,
by the way, there's something really interesting about, like, slowly through the books, like, Ron and Hermione kind of have emerged as these two leading characters. And, like, Ron is kind of like, it goes Harry, Hermione, Ron.
Oh, you think there's a hierarchy?
There's a hierarchy.
That's so interesting that you think Hermione, for some reason, is higher than Ron.
Yeah.
I think it alternates depending on the story.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Hermione has this, like, incredible power. Like, she's just, I don't know, there's something annoying as fuck about Hermione, but there's also something like super special.
Oh yeah, I mean, she's great. Like, what an asset.
Yeah,
to
like
the group.
smarty pants.
Yeah, she's the brains of every operation basically.
Okay, so they're all passed out. Harry comes to and then overhears Fudge and Snape talking,
and Fudge is basically being like, we're gonna give you the Order of Merlin
for your heroics in rescuing these kids. What fucking tangled web did Snape weave?
Yeah, Snape's like, it was really nothing. Because it fucking was nothing. You didn't do anything, you dumbass. And then he says that, oh, you know, the kids didn't mean to attack me. They were under a Confundus charm.
Yeah, yeah. They were manipulated by Snape and Black, or Lupin and Black.
Which I still don't know. Are you thinking Snape is just full of shit? Or do you think Snape still thinks he's in the right and that must be what happened?
Oh, I think Snape is lying.
Oh,
you I think Snape is for sure lying.
So you think Snape is fully was like, they're probably telling the truth about
I think
I still want to put him away.
Yeah, yeah. No, Snape knows that because he wants to make it seem worse for Lupin and Sirius Black that they did magic on these kids and manipulated these kids, because that makes it look even worse for them. That puts another nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
for them.
And he's still trying to get rid of Lupin as a professor.
And
we know
also,
he doesn't like him.
If the kids were slightly in cahoots with them, then Snape can't look like a hero for rescuing the kids from the dark side, you know?
Yeah, so he's like making himself look like this big hero.
So Harry sees Hermione's waking up and
they're both kind of listening, like,
and Ron's still out.
Yeah. So Snape and Fudge come in, and Harry and Hermione
try to talk to Madame Pomfrey, and she's like, you kids need to chill the fuck out.
And then they're like, absolutely not. So they're like, we're going to go fucking talk to them ourselves. And they do try to be like, this is not what happened. We're not under a Confundus charm.
And then Snape fucking yells at Hermione.
And Fudge is kind of like, what the fuck?
What is wrong with you?
Why are you screaming at the student?
Yeah. The student who's been through so much.
I know.
Like, you just told a story of these kids being manipulated and you had to rescue them. And then you're a fucking dick to her.
One of whom is Harry Potter, who I think we all know we have a soft spot for.
Yeah.
That's what Fudge thinks, is that everyone does. And then it's so fucking tense. And who strolls up?
Dumbledore to the rescue,
cutting through the tension.
By the way, as soon as Dumbledore got there, I was like, this is about to even the playing field. I was like, the second Dumbledore comes in at the end of any of these books so far, I'm like, Dumbledore is about to drop a dick and make everything right. And so Dumbledore's like, everybody out of here, I gotta talk to the kids.
I need to talk to Harry and Hermione. And you know, he basically tells Snape to like shove off,
beat feet.
Yeah. And so he gets Harry and Hermione alone and says, listen, I talked to Sirius, and I believe him. But there's no proof. We don't have Peter Pettigrew.
And no time to prove Sirius is innocent before the Dementors come back. Because they're like, well, as soon as Lupin is done werewolfing,
we can ask Lupin,
he'll be back.
But
there's no time. Because the Dementors are close in pursuit. And they're going to lay that smoocheroonie down on Sirius
Black. The wheels are already turning. And Dumbledore emphasizes, like, we have no time. We need more
time. He keeps saying time. And I'm like, I'm not following this at all. And then he's like, you know, we have a real chance here to save
not just one life, but
two lives. And Hermione's like, got it.
And he tells them
exactly the coordinates of Sirius Black. They're like, you know, he's up in the tower. So
from the outside, it's the seventh window on the west.
Crazy
side.
Winky McWinkerstein. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to lock you guys in the infirmary. And at this point, Harry's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, he shuts the door, locks them in, and Harry's lost. And then
Hermione
pulls out
a fucking hourglass necklace.
Little hourglass.
And she's like, basically, hi, I've been time traveling. That's why I've been able to make it to all my classes.
So she's like, there's no time to explain, whatever. She flips this thing three times. Everything's blurry. Fucking, they're falling back in time. They end up.
They're in the infirmary, but they leave the infirmary. They go back in time, and they're leaving the infirmary. They go down through the...
They don't leave. They leave the infirmary when they time travel. They end up in a closet.
Oh, they...
The
entrance
hall. Because they're locked in the infirmary.
Oh, for some reason I was imagining... Okay, I'm an idiot. Just ignore me.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, they end up in a storage room. Or no, wait. They end up in the entrance hall. And then, you know, Hermione's like, we cannot, you know, bump into ourselves.
Yeah. It's the same... It's like Back to the Future. You cannot see... You'll fuck up the time continuum.
You cannot disrupt the space-time continuum.
You will fuck it up. It's like...
The consequences are dire.
Are dire. Like
this
that's,
time travel stuff...
This has happened before, and that whatever that witch or that wizard like fucking died.
Yeah, they like lose their shit. Like Hermione has been given explicit instructions from Professor McGonagall, because that's why she has this. This is like not a thing a lot of wizards are allowed to do. It's very illegal. Yeah. You know, but, she had to get so much approval.
I mean, it's so crazy to me. Like, that's so, that's how fucking much of a G Hermione is. That they're like, you need to learn as much as you can. Like, McGonagall is like...
Like, that they have faith in her ability to learn. They have so much faith.
And also faith in her to, like, keep a secret and, like, do this, you know? Like, what a testament to where they see her going at Hogwarts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got it there?
I'm going to get it.
So it's 3 hours early. Basically, like, they're on the clock.
Yeah. That's they're like, TikTok, they got 3 hours to make this shit
happen. Like, because Harry is so confused. He's like, it's light outside, what's happening? And she's like, we're on the fucking...
We're back in time. We have 3 hours. We have to finish everything that we need to do before and get back to the infirmary and get through that door before whatever. By 3 hours. Actually, promptly at 3 hours.
Yeah. And so she is like, to be honest, that's pretty much all I have figured out. I don't really know what Dumbledore meant after the rest of that.
Yeah.
And Harry...
Harry's like, oh... He said save more than one life.
Buckbeak. Because they see themselves. They hide in the closet because they watch themselves going out.
To Buckbeak.
To Hagrid's cabin. And they're like, we have to free Buckbeak.
Yeah. And it's like, oh shit. And then they have the idea to take Buckbeak.
Use him to save Sirius.
Up to Sirius Black. Give Sirius Black Buckbeak to fly away to safety.
To fucking safety.
And then they'll just run through the castle and get back to the infirmary. Why do we keep calling it a castle? I guess it is a castle.
It is a castle.
Okay.
It's 100% a castle.
Run through and get back. Okay.
So they basically are like, there's no time to lose because this whole plan hinges on if they can free Buckbeak.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're fucked.
Yeah.
So they make a run to the forest because they're going to go around the outskirts of the forest so as not to be seen. Because Hagrid's cabin is on the far side of the grounds, but on the cusp of the forest. So
they get to where they need to be.
And they watch themselves enter Hagrid's house. So
which is so
weird.
And then they have to get Buckbeak loose.
Yeah.
Which I think they had a hard time doing. No, this is it. Next one.
Hold on.
Oh, that's a stupid side thing. Okay.
Okay.
And Harry sees them all in there and they realize the moment when Hermione finds Scabbers, Peter.
Yeah.
He realizes the moment's coming up and he's like, well, why don't we just run in there?
Kill Scabbers.
And she's like, no. Literally, we will fucking destroy everything.
Space time continuum.
It's not happening.
What would you think if you watched yourself run in this cabin? Yeah. It's like really dark magic was going on.
Yeah. Anywho, so they find the opportunity. They had to take Buckbeak away at the exact moment that it wouldn't make it look like
Hagrid had
done anything.
So what they had to do was wait for the executioner to come and see Buckbeak.
Go inside.
And then they'd have about 60 seconds. They have 1 minute to
snatch Buckbeak and
get him in the forest and get away. So down comes Fudge. And Dumbledore and a witness and the executioner, they see Buckbeak. The executioner's already fucking, you know, horn-dogging his own axe. Mm-hmm. And they go in to talk to Hagrid because they have to have him sign paperwork. And I hear Dumbledore says some things, and I can't remember the quotes, but he says a few things that it's like, it feels like he knew. Yeah. Like, he's sort of talking loudly. And
it's like this moment. What we find out is that this moment already happened, which is the space-time continuum. Like, this moment has played out before. Dumbledore has done this before. When it happened for the first time, us in the book, it had already happened for Dumbledore.
But it hadn't. He's not time traveling.
But then how does he...
He's just fucking... I don't know.
Fuck, man. Anywho, he's like speaking loudly enough so the kids can hear what's going on.
So they're in signing papers and it's like, oh, I need a more ink for my quill, and very like trying to stall, but not making it look like it. So they fucking
head off with Buckbeak.
Yeah. They grab him, snatch him.
And then
they have to coax him.
They head out to execute Buckbeak, and they see that Buckbeak is gone, and the executioner, who's fucking pissed because he wanted to kill Buckbeak, slams his axe into like the wood. And remember when
They were listening.
When they were walking away, they heard that noise.
And they all got sad because, like, that's Buckbeak dying.
Yeah.
So it had all happened. Like, this is all...
That's why I'm saying this moment had already happened.
Yeah.
This is a space... So...
Of course. This is a space-time continuum. But Dumbledore is only in his present moment.
Yeah.
Or he's everywhere. He's like, or he's
it's fucking crazy. Anywho, so they see everyone heading... They see the current moment, which is... the kids heading off to, the Shrieking Shack.
The Shrieking Shack. So they like watch that play out and they're like, okay, here's what we have to do. We wait in the forest until everyone comes back. We just got to chill here, not be seen.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause we just need to run the clock down right now.
Yeah. And then we need to just wait for the right moment.
So they just sit and talk because now they've got time. And Harry explains, what they saw. When they saw the Dementors.
Oh, what he saw, because Hermione was already passed out.
Yeah, what he saw when he saw the Dementors.
Because she's like, what got rid of them?
I think it was my dad.
That's what he says. So we find out Harry thinks he saw his dad across the lake because he saw the stag.
And Harry's like...
And he thinks that's his dad's Patronus.
And he's like, Harry's like... And Hermione's like, that can't be. And he's like, no, he looked like me.
Yeah, it looked like my dad.
Okay, so then time's going on. Everybody comes back from the Shrieking Shack.
They're making good time. They see them come out. And then, okay... Lupin turns into a werewolf. And Harry again is like,
we should do something to stop Peter. Yeah. And she's like, no.
Stay here.
Stay the course.
Stay right here. And
do not fuck with this.
It's all going on. And then Harry's like, we have to get out of the forest. And she's like, I told you we can't be seen. And I was like, no. And he's like, no, Lupin's coming this way.
That's where Lupin's going to hide.
So they have to fucking run for it. So they run toward the lake.
Uh-huh.
Because they're going to have to, I assume because they're going to have to grab, I don't know why.
They run into Hagrid's empty hut.
Oh, that's right.
Sure. They run into Hagrid's empty hut. And Hagrid's dog is in there.
Fang.
Fang's in there like, what the fuck is going on? Buckbeak's thrilled to be back in Hagrid's hut. I love Buckbeak so much. I can't even tell you. The level of excited I am for Harry to ride Buckbeak again is not to be believed. Harry kind of goes outside to check what's going on. Like, are we ready? Is it time to go yet?
And then he starts telling... Yeah. Hermione about what he saw at the lake, which is what we just said, but like this is where that conversation comes up, and he's like, I know this is crazy, but I think it was my dad. And
Hermione's like, okay, go and check what's going on, but don't fuck with anything, okay?
Yeah, she's like, we need to know when we need to get out of here, so you have to go take a look.
So then Harry sees that past moment that had already happened.
Yeah, he's on the opposite side of the lake where he had seen the stuff come from. He's watching the Dementors come down, and he's going like...
Watches Hermione pass out.
And he's like, any second now, my dad's going to show up. And he's waiting, and he's watching. No one's coming. He's now passing out. He's watching himself pass out across the lake. Mm-hmm. He's fine on this side. But he sees the Dementor going in for a kiss, and he realizes, like, no one else is coming.
No one else is coming. And so he does a Patronus.
Yeah. And he realizes, like, oh, it was fucking me, because he executes his Patronus. And that's his Patronus, the stag.
It takes the form of a stag, which is his fucking dad.
That's what his...
His happy memory was probably something about his dad. His happy memory was like, oh, I'm going to go with Sirius Black for the summer.
I want to say something, but I don't know if it spoils anything. So
it's
not a plot point. It's just that... I can't say it.
Fuck.
I don't know.
You just gave me blue balls.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Everyone has a Patronus. And everyone's different. But it doesn't change. It's not changing.
Okay. He's always a stag.
So if every time he has a Patronus, it's going to be that stag.
Yeah, I don't think
that. Whether it's familial and because of your father,
whatever
you have
his memory is, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect the Patronus comes out as what it is.
As a matter of fact, we need to get on Wizarding World for bonus content and figure out what your Patronus is after this book, I think.
What? I'm so excited. So he goes back. Hermione's pissed because it's fucking Hermione. And Harry's like,
you could have disrupted the... No one, by the way, has said space-time continuum.
Yeah, that's not a term. That's just... But it's a great...
I love Back to the Future. It makes sense.
Yeah. So then she's not sure what she's more shocked about, the fact that Harry saw himself,
which is like, oh no,
or the fact that Harry did a fucking Patronus.
Yeah. But then Harry's like, you know, I think I executed it because some small part of me realized I had seen myself. So I already knew I could do it, if that makes sense, which it kind of does.
So
And then they wait to watch the executioner leaving the castle to go get the Dementors.
Because now they've captured Sirius Black. They put him in the castle.
He's there waiting. So we're like at this coming point, on like, present like, time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're like, all right, cool. This means we need to get Buckbeak up there. So they hop on Buckbeak and they fly up to the window. And but they get Black to climb on board of Buckbeak.
And it's just sort of like a thanks for everything.
And there's kind of like a tearful, sensitive, like, I love you.
And then they fly off. And now this chapter ends with, like, they did it. Who knows if we'll ever see Sirius and Buckbeak again, but they're both free. And now we've got to fucking jam back to where we're supposed to be. And that's where this chapter ends.
Fucking intense.
It's
so intense. So now, if
they get caught leaving the room that Sirius is in, if they get caught. Although I guess.
But now I know Sirius Black is safe. He's going to get away.
I mean, for now.
For now. But at least he has a chance of getting away. So I'm happy about that.
He's going to go ahead.
At this point, I'm really bummed out. I'm really worried about Lupin.
Oh, because he's just out on the run.
Yeah. I mean, like, we know he's a werewolf right now and he's going to be fine. No one's going to fuck with him. But I'm just like, oh, fuck. When he unwerewolves,
he's going to feel terrible.
Yeah. Like,
fucking, what's his name got away?
Snape fucking screwed him. He's probably going to get fired.
Yeah. Dumbledore also has trusted him to, like, keep this shit under wraps.
And yeah.
Take care of itself. So. Well, and the worst what's thing is like, is hopefully he doesn't hurt someone.
Yeah. But what's amazing to me is that if Dumbledore seems to know everything that's fucking going on, how did he not know?
Not know what?
That Peter was Scabbers, that Lupin, you know, knew Sirius Black, and that Sirius Black was a dog. Like, how did he not know all this?
Even the greatest wizard sometimes can be...
Miss something.
I mean, right. If you see everything, if you could view everything that's going on all at one time, you're not gonna be able to take it all in, if that
it's
makes
just
sense.
Fucking I mean, every single time I feel like at the end of every book Dumbledore is like, I knew what was going on.
I mean, he seems pretty in tune, thank goodness, but it is a bummer that he does seem to miss a few things. But we will see how this one wraps up right after this. Hey everyone, as the world starts to slowly reopen, I think a lot of us are thinking about traveling, and I know I'm a big traveler myself, hoping to hit the road sooner than later, and I wanted to tell you about my friends over at UrbaneLuggage.com. That's U-R-B-A-N-E Luggage.com. The Urbane Traveler. It's inspired to protect the natural world we love to travel. They're committed to designing durable and eco-friendly hemp travel bags and accessories for all of us. Basically, Urbane Traveler wants to provide exclusive products that can help travelers reduce their carbon footprint by investing in products that benefit the earth and us. It's American-made, woman-owned. It's Ecolux hemp luggage. That's right. The first of its kind. Travel with a purpose, you guys. This is luggage made of hemp. That's amazing. Where are my hippies at? Where are the people who care about the environment? I hope to God you're out there. We need you. Urbane Luggage also has hemp washable face covers now. They're soft, durable, and they have the interior filter slot. So you're trying to venture out in the world, but you know, it's still mask time. You got to keep it safe. Head over there to get one of their hemp masks. And this is awesome. They just introduced a new Urbane Hemp Box, which is a subscription box curated by Black women-owned businesses featuring products like TLCBD, which is CBD from T-Boz, from TLC. You know you love it. Chase That Waterfall. Sorry, that was really corny. BUHair.com, Eclectic Relaxation, and more. This, you guys, beyond being a subscription box that just delivers you a bunch of awesome products, this is a great way to support American Black woman-owned businesses and, you know, and win. You get a variety of things you love. So if you're someone who wants to support businesses that are close to home, you want to support America, you want to support Black women, you want to support women in general, there you go. You can do all of that. Help everyone and help yourselves. Keep it all right at home. Help your neighbors, help the people you love, and help the planet with Urbane Luggage. UrbaneLuggage.com.
Last chapter.
22.
Owl post again. And so there's two. Of course, I know that owls bring posts.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking like an owl post, like an owl posted somewhere. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
So I'm like, wait, what is it? Is there a letter?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think
that. Or is there like, what? Is there like a place where the owls post up? Like, is there?
Yeah,
like,
it's so funny because even realizing now what this chapter is about to be about because we've read it.
Yeah.
I always picture the owl post. Like, I picture a post office filled with owls.
Yeah.
And then I just go, that's fun. But then I guess there is the whole like, oh, it's the actual post coming from the owl.
Yeah.
Just feels a little British.
All right. So Harry and Hermione run like bats out of hell.
Get back to the infirmary.
They see Fudge and Snape walking and talking about Sirius's punishment. They have to hide. Peeves comes by.
Fucking
Peeves. I'm like, Peeves, are you going to fucking ruin this at this point?
I mean, he will.
They arrive just as Dumbledore is exiting the infirmary.
So they whoop in. So they're Dumbledore, in
Dumbledore's like just fucking grinning ear to ear. He's so excited.
Yeah, just like, how was it? Did you do it? And they're like, yep. And he just whoop, locks him in like no big deal.
And the time travel shenanigans end.
Yeah.
Still, I'm still kind of uncertain about the science or the logic behind all of the time travel, but I'm just going to let it be.
Yeah, why? Because there's a part of you that's like, there has to be another Hermione running around or what?
Yeah. I'm like, I guess it's the space-time continuum. This is just going to keep happening.
I thought about it, perpetuity. But it's like, if she left this reality.
Yeah.
That she's now in. So when she left this to go back in time, that's a good point.
I can't figure it out.
Because in theory, she goes back and there is no...
I feel like this is a question for JK. I mean,
I feel like you have to have loops like this. All of her classes must have been like this, where when you go back in time, no one exists in this reality now where she's left. It's stopped. She doesn't exist moving forward until she's caught up. So like the her that she saw is going to hit the same point and go back in time and be in a different time loop because of that.
Yeah. But so she just like, they have to plan it perfectly so that, you know, they went into the infirmary when they saw themselves leaving the infirmary.
In reality, her and Harry are staying in the past.
Yeah.
And
they're in the whole new and past, and that's becoming the current
and
reality.
And the present versions of themselves are going to go 3 hours in the past and live in the past for the rest of
and
their life.
And keep doing this. So, everything, it keeps creating a new past.
Yeah.
Which then becomes the present.
It's just a constant loop.
Fuck.
God, I wish I could. I'm going to quit comedy and become a... What kind of physics is that?
I don't know. Fictional physics.
Theoretical physics.
So then Madame Pomfrey comes in. She's, you know, telling them to go back to bed. They hear Snape approaching.
So pissed.
Saying, Potter's done something.
I know he did something.
And he's like, bro, relax. Yeah. Madame Pomfrey's like, they've been here. The kids were here the whole time.
Yeah.
And Fudge is stressed out because they find out that Black escaped.
Yeah, and Dumbledore is like, okay, well, not my problem. Can you get
the fucking Dementors out of here now that he's not here anymore?
Well, and one of them tried to give the Dementors kiss to Harry. Like, that's the final straw. No, your fucking guards that tried to kill my student cannot stay here.
And then Ron wakes up and he's like, what's going on?
Fucking Ron missing everything. It's also just so funny. It's interesting because it almost feels like something that could, in theory, become political, that it's like, all right, you don't want these guards here because they might hurt a kid, but also, in theory, there's a killer on the loose.
Yeah.
So it feels vaguely similar to like a gun law or something of like, we don't want guns because they might kill people, but other people have guns. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, it definitely is. That is exactly what it is.
It's fucked.
Anyhow.
So is the world.
So eventually they catch Harry up with everything that's going, or catch Ron up with everything that's going on. And they're like, wonder where Buckbeak is. Wonder where Sirius Black is. And they see Hagrid, who's fucking just thrilled that Buckbeak escaped.
Couldn't be happier.
Has no idea what happened.
No, he thinks, because he said this when he noticed he escaped when they had gone back in time. He thinks that Buckbeak set himself free.
Yeah. Oh, Bucky. What does he call him? Oh, Beaky?
Beaky. Oh, he's so smart. He must have
gotten himself loose.
Himself, which is so sweet.
And he fills them in on bad news. Snape told everyone that Lupin is a werewolf at breakfast.
Oh, yeah, but that's the thing. Snape accidentally let it slip that Lupin's a werewolf. And it's like...
So Lupin had to fucking resign.
Also, why didn't you fucking just do that earlier if you really wanted him out that bad?
Yeah. Good question. Why didn't he just do that earlier?
Because I guess there's no way to make it look like an accident to Dumbledore until this.
I don't know.
So it's like a manipulative. It's so shitty.
But
and
Harry
Snape has resigned, by the way. Not Snape. Excuse me. Lupin has resigned. Dumbledore didn't ask him to, but he was like, let me just get ahead of this because you're going to get bombarded with
shit.
Parents.
Yeah.
I mean,
could you
find
Lucius Malfoy finding out
that there's
God.
A fucking werewolf?
Oh, it'd never be the end of it. So Harry's like, oh, fuck, I got to go talk to Lupin.
Yeah, he's got to go, like, you know, say bye.
So they talk.
And wait, sorry, we're reading papers and I. Oh, yeah. Lupin told everything.
Oh, and so he goes to see Lupin. Lupin gives him back the Marauder's map.
Yeah, he's like, I won't be needing this. It only works at the castle.
And Dumbledore shows up and then Lupin heads off.
Yeah. So
Harry and Dumbledore sit down to have, you know,
their
end of the book, their end of the book wrap up.
As they always do.
He tells Dumbledore about what happened with Trelawney because that was
like,
fucking crazy.
The servant of Voldemort, the Dark Lord will return at midnight. And Dumbledore is like, wow, that's the second prediction she's ever gotten correct.
That's it. That's the only thing she's ever gotten correct. Which is like so funny to me that we've said this before, but like he just keeps her around.
I maintain that is a form of magic that some people have a gift for. I think that is maybe even transfers over into the Muggle world. So what do you do? Yeah. You if you can't find a teacher who is super gifted in it, but you want to make sure that people who might have that ability can learn about
also, it. Also, I'm still not totally convinced that Trelawney isn't going to become a vessel for the Dark Lord again at some point.
I mean, it seemed like
a bigger way too.
Whatever she was channeling definitely took over her body. She's a medium for something.
Dark Lord's going to come on back.
Yeah, you know. Can't do teach, and I guess that's her thing.
So Harry is like, oh shit, Peter got away. This is bad.
Super bummed.
And Dumbledore's like, no, this is actually good. Like, you spared his life. He fucking owes you now.
Yeah, even if he goes back to the Dark Lord isn't going to be happy about someone who's indebted to his worst enemy.
Yeah, so.
So this was actually best case scenario.
So, hopefully. Year's ending. Everybody's talking about everything that's gone on with Sirius Black. Most kids are really bummed out that Lupin's leaving because he's the best dark arts teacher they've ever had.
He's actually taught them shit. They haven't had any teachers who do anything in that fucking class.
And their test scores come back. Everybody passed everything. Hermione drops Muggle studies so she can have a normal schedule. And she returns her time turner.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of bummed about because I'm like, we just learned about this fucking super cool thing and now you're just going to give it away. I hope it makes a cameo again.
But I mean, she's obviously going crazy and she had already dropped Divinity. There's no need to run yourself ragged for Muggle studies when you're a fucking Muggle.
Yeah.
Like, you get it.
Yeah. You lived that life.
Just go home and observe
for all the years before you were at Hogwarts. You did that.
And every summer when you go home.
Yeah. You can just dive back into Muggle world.
Yeah.
So Ron's like, I can't believe you didn't tell us this the whole year.
Yeah, he's like butthurt because you know, he wants to be in on all the secrets.
And so then they all get on the train, they're all heading out to leave, leaving Hogwarts, and suddenly a little owl flies into their window.
Little tiny like
I am like so obsessed with this. So it turns out Sirius sent a note with this little owl.
Yeah.
And he's like, BT Dubs, I'm the one who sent you the firebolt, which I called.
Yeah, that's true.
I called that.
So Hermione also called it, but Ron points out, it's like, yeah, but you thought it was jinxed.
It was a bad broom, but it was really a great gift. And then he also says in the note, you know, seeing that Ron lost his, and this is something I thought as soon as I saw the little owl, I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
Ron,
you literally said, oh, I hope he gets to keep the owl.
Yeah. And then Sirius Black is like, you know, since Ron lost his pet, he can keep this little owl as his pet.
So Ron gets a cute little owl.
I'm fucking stoked. And I love how he's like, can we run this over with Scabbers? Like Scabbers or run this over with Crookshanks.
Crookshanks.
Like, Crookshanks. Oh, yes, so Crookshanks. This is just an owl. It's not a person.
Yeah, he has Crookshanks smell the owl, which like, I'm sorry. That's still a fucking cat, in my opinion.
But the cat knows good from evil.
But a cat's also a cat.
True.
But maybe this cat is smarter than the average cat. It's the Yogi Bear of cats.
And then this got me. This got me good. His godfather, Sirius Black, includes a note that says, you have my permission
to go to Hogsmeade. So now he gets to go to Hogsmeade,
which is like, what a gift. Now, in my heart, I'm still heartbroken that he has to go back to the fucking Dursleys. So I'm like, ugh, what's this going to be like? But I'm hoping he gets to, like, see his godfather at some point during the summer.
When they're all at King's Cross and, like, breaking apart, you know, Ron's like, oh, make sure you come visit us. I'll call you. He said that the Quidditch World Cup's going on this summer.
And this is my favorite. This is my favorite part. Harry sees Uncle Vernon and he's like, oh, hey, Uncle Vernon. By the way, that escaped convict. Oh, yeah. He's my godfather. He just sent me a letter.
So just wanted to let you know. So anyway, looking forward to a great summer. Yeah. And so that's
and that's how Harry is going to control the situation.
And we'll see what that turns into in Goblet of Fire.
And next episode, we're going to be discussing
how disappointed Nicole is with the movie.
Exactly. And how there's no way they could have ever have done this book true justice in a fucking hour plus movie.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, things you think are going
to
get cut.
The whole shit in the beginning with the Dursleys. They're going to skip to it super quick. The night bus is going to be way shorter. They're going to get to...
You think they're
going to
skip Aunt Marge?
They're going to have Aunt Marge. It's going to be quick.
Okay. Like boom, boom, boom.
And then night bus will be faster. All the different scenes with like them learning about the cool magic in Lupin's class, that all of that's going to get cut down. Like things are just going to get cut down a lot. Like
condensed.
Like everything's just going to be like it's everything's just going to roll so quick.
Do you think anything's going to be completely left out?
I don't know.
Okay, top three things that you think guaranteed scenes.
The whole opening before Aunt Marge gets to
Aunt Marge getting blown up.
Mm-hmm. So it'll start with instantaneously we'll get to Aunt Marge being blown up. Harry's gonna get to the hotel a lot faster. Everything's just going to be so much quicker.
So you don't think they're necessarily going to cut anything? It's just going to be super quick?
No, I think the part where the Dementors come on the train, I don't even necessarily know. I think they're going to cut out a lot of the scenes with the Dementors.
What about the Bogart?
Bogart. I don't know. I feel like that could get cut out.
Hmm.
I think the scene where they turn it into Snape... Or maybe that's the only scene
they show
in the class.
It's not like a big production.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel like they could cut that down. I feel like the trips to Hogsmeade will be shorter.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first trip to Hogsmeade. I feel like something big is going to be revealed each time they go to Hogsmeade.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So
I think everything's just going to be very truncated. I don't necessarily know if anything's going to be completely left out.
That's fair. All right. Well, tune into the next episode and find out. We'll be watching the movie tonight with our patrons, which by the time this comes out, you will have missed. But if you want to be part of our Patreon and see movies with us, do some live readings and other fun chats, hangs, tea times, go to patreon.com/twofilthynerds. For as little as $5, you can subscribe, get bonus content, and be entered for our grand prize to hang out with us at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at an undisclosed date because the world is on fire. All right.
All right, you guys.
Later, bye. Nerds.